Hey guys, this is Rafael from Better Boss. Thank you for joining in today. As you were here, if you were here yesterday, I am recording for a podcast as well here. So that's what I'm doing as well. In today's episode, we're going to talk about lost time. I mentioned a couple of times before, especially yesterday when we had a question in the comments, or I was discussing a question that I responded to regarding competing interests from a manager and employees. What as a new manager? As a new manager, there's a couple of things you have to do initially to get started. Here at Better Boss, our main focus is to help you become an effective manager so that you can become a better boss with your employees. That's the whole reason why this company is called Better Boss, is so that you're not a bad boss, or you're not a micromanager, you're not anything else. We want to teach you fundamentals of management so you can be effective. The key thing that you have to do as a new manager is you have to assess current state. If you're taking over a role from a good boss or a bad boss, you still have to assess current state. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if the area is running really well and your boss is telling you like, hey, this is a solid team. You still have to do your due diligence to assess current state. Let me give you an example. I was coaching this organization, and that placed a supervisor in the role. And historically, this team had done very well. One of the key KPIs that this team was responsible for was SLAs, service level agreements. If you're not familiar with KPIs, go to my Stand store and download the ebook. SLAs, service level agreement percentages, is how quickly are you closing work orders or work with against a period of time. For example, some orders, for example, are 24 hour closure time. So you've got to meet that service level agreement. Now, this manager or supervisor came in and their team, I think, was at a 99.4%, right? And their goal was 99%. And that supervisor was really good. You can tell from the way that person spoke, his demeanor, his just humor, and his the way he spoke. He understood leadership and management from the aspect that he knew. He was just a really good person, right? So he came in there and said, you know what? Basically what he was saying, that he was going to coast. He was going to take over because his team was doing really well. And he was going to just coast because they were hitting 99.4%. And the goal was 99. And I said, so how do you plan on making a difference in your team? How do you plan on making a difference? Because here's the thing, is that he thought about it for a second, and he thought about it, and he wasn't sure, right? At that point, he wasn't sure about it. So what we had a discussion around was, if your team is at 99.4%, you still have to go in there and assess the current state of what they're doing. And probably you're going to have to reassess their goal in order from 99% to higher than their current. Because the thing you have to realize, even if your team is performing at a high level, 99.4, it's going to take a lot of leadership, a lot of management to make a 0.01% improvement overall, which is going to be huge. If you move the team from 99.4, then say 99.6, that's going to be a huge improvement. That means you're fine-tuning this well-oiled machine to even get better. And that will be your value of what you provide as a manager. Because it's any manager with mediocre skills can take a team from 70% to 80%. If you have a team that's performing an SLA from 70% to 80%, all you do as a manager is show up. And you use a Hawthorne effect to make that improvement. It's easier to do that. But in order for you to get from a 99.4 to a 99.7 means that you have leadership, you have all the management skills necessary to even fine tune the team, to even get better. But not only that, your team has to believe you that the goal has to be moved in order for them to get better. So he thought about it for a second, you know, and it made sense. He goes, it makes sense. And he made references to football and other sports. And I said, absolutely, that's exactly what I'm saying, is that the question still is, how are you going to improve your team? Even though if it's a high performing team, you know, you have to raise the bar. If you're a new leader within that group, you cannot stay status quo. You can't stay stagnant. And your team, even though they're a high performing team, have to understand that you're going to come in here and make slight tweaks that get them better. They have to understand that, but you've got to do your groundwork. You've got to assess the current state, develop a plan for success, then execute towards that plan so that the team can understand where you're taking them to, right? So great. Great conversation around that. I wanted to kind of share that little scenario because today we're going to talk about lost time. Part of the four steps that I talk about in assessing current state, one is understanding what the activity list with the reasonable expectations. The second one is understanding what your KPIs and current performance. The third one is you have to assess your skill sets within your team. And the last one is understanding what lost time is, because you want to understand what the barriers are within your team so you can track them, validate them, then begin addressing those. So I want to talk to you about what is lost time, right? Lost time is the result of a barrier. It's exactly what it says, lost time. It's time you cannot recover. For example, if you have one employee, right, that you're paying 8 hours of work, and I know that you're not going to get a full 8 hours. Say, for example, you get 7 hours of work, right? That because the other hours either breaks or lunches. But lost time is time that you can't recover for a barrier that happened. So you might only get 6 hours of actual work because one of the hours, right, is lost time. Or are you getting 5 hours of true work and 2 hours are actual lost time? It's a cumulative time that employees are losing that you cannot recover. The only way you can recover lost time is by working overtime. For example, if an employee works 40 hours a week and you're losing 30% of those hours, but you can't meet the current demand of the work, guess what? That's where a lot of managers make the decision of working overtime, because they don't manage within the 40 hours as efficient as possible. Okay, good. So let's get into some little bit of details of what lost time is. So in my hand, I've got a list that I usually coach to about what we call 26 causes of lost time. I'm going to go down the list. I'll pick a couple or go through all of them, and I'll talk about them specifically. But I want you to be aware that you can go to my Stand store, download some ebooks and understand this, or just follow me, go to my newsletter or go to betterboss.org and just follow me both on all the socials, especially my newsletter. If you go to my Stand store, my link, go to my newsletter, get involved in there so that you can stay ahead of the game about learning about lost time. So let's talk about it for a second. The first one is the layout of work, or the layout of work area. And think about it. You will lose time if your work area is not laid out correctly. If you've got employees standing up all the time to go grab stuff or do something, that is lost time, right? It's a barrier that causes the delay in work for whatever reason. Now, the thing you have to realize about lost time, and of course, there's a lot of different concepts that talk about waste, value added and non-value added, right? You've got to determine, you know, that's another concept, what we call lost time. It's waste overall. If you understand what waste is, then there's value and non-value, right? But in what I teach, you have to consider everything that's not work specific as lost time. Now, here's the key thing about lost time. You will incur some lost time in the process. That's what I'm referring to, is value and non-value. But you just have to determine what the threshold is of that lost time. Meaning that, for example, the layout of work that I just mentioned, if your work layout is optimized to its best of its ability, right, that you're optimizing your layout, you can still get 15 minutes of lost time every single day, then that probably is your threshold of the lost time you can absorb with the current process of your layout, not unless you make some capital expenditures and minimize everything, right? But you're going to spend a lot of money trying to maximize the layout of your work area with little return, right? You're not going to get a whole lot of return, but you may just absorb the 15 minutes of lost time as a threshold and say, okay, we've maximized everything. I'm okay with 15 minutes. As long as we maintain and manage towards those 15 minutes of lost time, I can live with the rest of it and getting the most out of the other hours as possible. So if you think about lost time, you got to think about minimizing it or eliminating it. When I say minimizing it, it's the amount of lost time you can live with the current state without spending a lot of money and trying to get very little return. So you have to, there's a lot to consider when you do that. All right, let's go to the next one. The layout of work facilities. When I say work facilities, if you have a department that you're dependent on and it's like located on another building, or maybe you have a vendor, right, that's located within your facility, but way across town or whatever it may be, you've got to determine the layout of facilities as well. So either sister departments, sometimes it's putting departments side by side or areas side by side and eliminating silos. That's the key thing with the layout of facilities. You want to eliminate silos as much as you can. Not enough equipment. That's a pretty obvious one, right? Obvious, not enough equipment, right? That people are scrounging for equipment. They're fighting over machinery. That is a form of lost time. So that requires what you as a leader to step in and make some decisions on equipment. Equipment not scheduled. And this is another obvious one, right? Where you as a leader have to determine what equipment you need at the right time. Because some organizations, right, they tell you, I've only got one piece of equipment for two different or three different departments. And you've got to figure out the utilization of the equipment. Because sometimes you don't need that piece of equipment all day. You just need it for an hour and a half every day at a certain time, then that's what it is. It's you properly scheduling any piece of equipment that you may have and that you need at the right time. If you don't, guess what? Someone else has it. Then your employees have to wait for that equipment to be available, because you know what? Your boss doesn't want to spend another $200,000 for this piece of equipment. And that's up to you to make sure that you're utilizing that piece of equipment as efficiently as, and not efficiently, but utilizing it when you need it by scheduling it. So that's another form of lost time. Improper equipment or tools, right? Improper equipment or tools. That's giving someone a screwdriver when you really need a hammer. So think about this. Employees, in my experience, employees will make it happen. They will work to the expectations of their boss. That's what I always teach. And they'll make things do. But it's up to us as leaders, or you as leaders, to make sure that you give the person or the individuals the right tools. If they need a hammer, we got to get them a hammer. If they need a wrench, they need a wrench. It's really unfair that organizations cannot provide the right tools for employees to do their job correctly. You know, I did a post the other day where I said, and this is back going back to Dr. Deming, right? If you want employees to do their best, you've got to set them up to do their best, right? You can't expect employees to do their best if you don't set them up correctly. That's what he was talking about. Poor work environment. You as a leader, you're in control of the work environment that you create. If it's a great work environment, guess what? People are going to be happy going to work. They might not like the work, but at least they appreciate you as a leader and they go to work and they're like, okay, boss, let's tackle this. A poor work environment contributes to lost time because one, they don't know what to do. The second thing is that you're not following up. The third thing is you're not fixing issues. A poor work environment involves all that. So employees in that environment do not give their best effort and no one follows up with the employees to see if they're doing well. The other one is mismatched capabilities. And this is where silos come into place or your process flow, right? If you've got a process flow and you understand how that works, mismatched capabilities can be a form of lost time. For example, if I'm an employee and I produce 10 units, but my other, when it goes downstream, that person produces 5 units, you know there's going to be a backlog of work, right? That's going to be piled up in front of the other person. So that's what it's saying, this mismatched capabilities. Or if you're in an admin situation where someone is really good at a job and you're not, and another employee's not, and you're trying to produce work, the one doing all the work is going to do all the work. But then again, you have someone here that's not doing so well. And that's a form of lost time as well, because you're not feeding downstream with enough work because you have one, you know, either slow employee and you have a really fast employee. So that's what it talks about. The other form of lost time is pacing. And this is something that you have to pay attention to, especially is understanding the work and reasonable expectations. Now, the thing about pacing, that's why it's important to have reasonable expectations so that you know employees that are pacing the work. And this happens because managers don't provide reasonable expectations and they fill the time with work and they're pacing it out. That is a form of lost time because if, for example, the reasonable expectation to do one thing is 10 an hour, if there's no expectations, they're going to do 3 or 4 an hour because no one's following up, no one's checking on the employee, and they pace it all out. So at the end of 8 hours, you should be at 80, but if they do 4, you're halfway, and that right there is lost time. 50% of your day is gone. You're losing 50% of lost time hours because the person paced out the work. So hope that makes sense. Lack of specific assignment. This is one of them that it is lost time because you as a leader, when you provide expectations, you've got to be very specific using the SMART methodology, right? You got to be very specific on what you're trying to accomplish because if you're not specific and employees may not ask questions, they're going to be confused. And if you don't follow up, they're going to be confused as well out in the field and they're going to delay work. One, they're going to delay because they're waiting for you to show up and you never show up, or they might do something else other than what you've asked them to do because you are not specific and you're vague, and that causes rework, all those different things around lost time because the lack of being specific causes lost time because employees don't know what to do. They're confused. They do something they're not supposed to be doing. It creates a lot of churn. So that is lost time. So the other one is assignment of work is not equitable or challenging enough. The same thing, right? If you're developing a good team, you've got to ensure that you've got enough work that is equitable to meet the current skill sets that you have. Remember in step 3 where you're assessing skill sets, whenever you're assessing the current state as a manager, your skill sets will determine whether or not someone is capable or I would say qualified to do a job. And again, you've got to have work that's equitable to the skill set that you have. If your employee is able to do 50 an hour, whatever that looks like, and you only have 40 per hour for the employee, because again, remember, mismatched capacities or the layout of work is incorrect, and you're only able to feed this employee 40 an hour, then you're losing 10 units with that in lost time. You're losing about 45 minutes every single day because of lost time, because you're not giving those employees actionable work. So the other one is lack of backup assignments. You know, when, and this involves when you have a plan, when you have a plan and you give work to your employees, and guess what? And this comes up quite a bit when I coach leaders, is that when you plan the work out with your employees, if they run out of work, whose fault is it? It's the supervisor or the manager's fault, because they're supposed to provide equitable work and enough work to last them throughout the day to include backup assignments. If the employee doesn't have backup assignments because something falls through or something gets unscheduled, then the employee immediately goes to their backup assignments. But if they don't have any, guess what? One, they're going to stand there waiting for you to show up. Oh, the other thing is that they're going to come in and look for you, and you could be busy doing something else, and they're going to spend 30 minutes trying to look for you, right? Because they ran out of work. That's basically what it is. So if they ran out of work, they have to have backup summons. If not, it's going to create lost time if they have to stop and look for you, or even stop and wait for you there. So let's continue with the list. So the lack of discipline. Here's another one where it may cause or will cause lost time. And it's self-explanatory. If you've got an SOP, you got standards, and you've got a process, you've got to follow that process in order for you to finish the work in the best quality and meeting your service level agreements or your KPIs, and you can include safety. If you don't have that discipline to follow those through, you're going to make mistakes. It's going to cause rework, and that's where the lost time gets you around that. The assumption that specialization is desired. And here's what it means about that. It means that when you do your skills assessment, especially in step three, you don't need everybody to be trained on every single thing, because you think that everyone needs to be specialized on everything. Well, there's a certain number of people that you need to be qualified in order to meet the volume of work. For example, if you got 10 employees, and the volume of work only requires 3 employees to include a backup because you have vacations and you got coverage, you need 3 people to be qualified to do that. That covers everything, right? Whenever people are out, vacation, call-ins, whatever it may be, it requires 3 people. You only work 1 person a day on this job because it meets your volume of work. As long as you have 1 person on this job, you're good to go. But where lost time comes in is that when you think you have to train all 10 employees and it takes you 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month to train all these employees, and that is lost time on your part because you don't need to train everybody on that. Now, here's another one, which is uncontrolled use of overtime, right? That is a form of lost time because it's out of control. You're using too much overtime because you can't figure out how to control the work or the volume of work and the labor hours within the work period of 40 hours, right? When you're just throwing overtime upon overtime because you haven't figured out how to be effective or efficient, or you haven't identified what the biggest barriers are so you can begin fixing those things to minimize the overtime, right? So that's another form of lost time. Here's another one, is the failure for the supervisor to get into the details of the work. So what do I mean? Is that you have leadership or managers that don't understand and don't get into the details of the work. And because, say for example, if you're a manager and you're asking your supervisor, or say for example, you're asking your leadership team about specifics of the work, and they tell you like in general, how do you trust that they're fixing things if they don't know the details of the work? The supervisor, which is the frontline leader, and the manager have to clearly understand the details of the work that's happening in order for them to diagnose and resolve issues so they can meet or exceed the objectives overall. If you ask the question and you get this very general response from your leaders, they don't know what's going on, and that is lost on, because if they don't know what's going on, so that means that they're not asking the right questions, and that they're not training and coaching and developing processes to increase efficiency or effectiveness within the team, and you have a large amount of lost time. So if they're not addressing lost time, that means they're not engaged and they're not fixing issues. That's what it means. Inadequate communications, right? If you're a manager and you don't have a communication channel set up, that is causing lost time as well. For example, if you don't have a huddle meeting in the morning, if you don't have your daily review meeting with your team as a leadership team, that's a quick 10 or 15 minute meeting, excuse me, or you're not having your weekly meeting, right, to address your weekly goals, then you're increasing the chance of lost time. Because again, back to the leadership, and it applies to leadership as well, is that if your leadership is confused and you're not communicating correctly as leaders within your team, that means you're not providing feedback and guidance in order for them to correct the issues, right? So inadequate communications contributes to lost time. The other one is failure to recognize lost time. If you don't know what it is and you can't recognize it, you can't fix it. So if you're a leader and you don't recognize lost time, that is causing you inefficiencies. That's costing you as an organization, and that's costing you money at the end of the day. Poor definition of supervisor's role. That's why when I talk about doing the work up front, you've got to clearly identify the roles of leadership. For example, if you're a supervisor manager, you've got to clearly identify those roles. What are your roles and what are your responsibilities? Responsibilities tied to a KPI, so they clearly understand what they're supposed to be doing daily and weekly, monthly, all those things, because one of those things is fixing issues, right? You hire managers and supervisors to fix issues. They're problem solvers. The only way they can solve problems is they identify lost time or barriers, because again, if they don't do that, then they're randomly fixing these issues that have zero impact to the bottom line or to the culture or to the organization. If you track lost time, then you're focused on the biggest issue. You're leveraging your skills to have the greatest impact, and the greatest impact overall results into better culture, better organization, and happy customers overall. The other one is poor follow-up by hiring management. And here's the other one is, when you have poor follow-up by either your frontline leader, your manager, or upper management, it doesn't allow, because here's the thing. When we talk about follow-up, and people, you know, when I talk to managers and supervisors, and this is a lot of their pushback, right? I don't want to micromanage because I don't want people to feel like I'm in their business all day. Well, you got to think of follow-up as feedback. The quicker you can follow up with the flow of work, the quicker you can make an adjustment if something's going wrong. If everything is going right based on your plan expectations and the way the employees are trained, then your follow-up should be very minimal, but you still have to follow up though. You still got to check in to make sure that the flow works correctly, because the moment you don't follow up is the moment things fall apart. And when things fall apart, you're losing time and you're losing opportunity. So the whole purpose is that you're following up effectively so that you minimize any lost time that happens in that. But organization, I'll give you a couple, many, many times when I've worked with employees, because typically when I work with organizations, I'd work with employees. And I would say, hey, when do you see, you know, because I'm out there for a couple hours, and I say, hey, how often do you see your boss? The typical response is only when something goes wrong. And that's towards the end of the day. That is, I get that answer a lot when I ask that question. I only see my boss when something goes wrong at the end of the day. Remember, if you're a leader or supervisor, at the end of the day is way too late. You need to course correct as soon as possible early in the day, because maybe the employee wasn't paying attention in your huddle meeting. They weren't paying attention in your, you know, providing expectations. So the sooner you follow up during the day, the sooner you can set your team up for success and follow up to make sure that everything's okay.